What's going on, beautiful people? This is Mr. No Excuses and my man Jay.
What's going on?
With another episode of the Hidden Truths Podcast, where we provide therapy through conversation, restoring trust and community advocacy, one conversation at a time. What are those skeletons you've been hiding in your closet? What are those uncomfortable conversations that you need to have that may be holding you back from your progress? The more we talk about it, the more we communicate openly and honestly about it, the more we can start trusting each other. The more we start trusting each other, the more we can start building and growing with each other. So that's what we're here to talk about with the Hidden Truths Podcast. Be sure to check us out and subscribe so you can get all these episodes that we're putting out, Hidden Truths Podcast, on all social media platforms. As always, we like to do our community spotlight to start off with. Who we shouting out today?
Okay, so today we have a lovely group of black females that have started their own event planning service. So, good friend of mine, Crystal, and her girlfriend have started a company called Events Inspired by Two. And they do all kind of events. They do birthday parties, weddings, you name it, they do it. And they do a great job. They have some great pictures on Facebook of their work and on Instagram. And their Facebook is Events Inspired by Two. The Instagram link is Events Inspired by Two, the number two, not the word two. Their email is eventsby2@gmail.com, and that is eventsby2, eventsbyto@gmail.com.
All right.
And also, if you need to get in contact with Crystal, her number is 704-774-7070. And I'm pretty sure they give you a really good price on getting a wonderful party and an experience that you wouldn't forget.
All right, no doubt. So y'all be sure to check them out. So, Jay, what's a good word for today?
Man, I think this is a good one today, man. It's one of the things that I guess I look at and think about all the time is staying in relationships that are toxic or bad for you. And today, I think that, you know, talking about this may bring out some very interesting things that I know I've been through and other people might have been through. So we have a lovely guest here today that's been on the podcast before. Will you please introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So my name is Darnita Samuels. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, it's nice to meet you again, Darnita. It's very nice to meet you again. I haven't seen you in a little while, so.
I know, it's been a minute.
It's been
good
a minute.
Good to see you, Jamie.
It's been a minute. Thank you. I'm glad to be missed. I tell you, boy, I sometimes think I'm not missed, but when I come on the podcast, I think the podcast world misses this lovely voice of mine, even though it's not as lovely as E's. Every time we're on here, people always say, oh, we hear E's voice, but not mine. So glad I'm missed.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Well, we know you are loved in the podcast universe.
I'm trying to get my likes up. Everybody likes your voice. They think you missed the Midnight Soul over there, but I'm trying to get my likes up over here, man. I'm trying to get my likes up.
I get it from my daddy. My daddy was a Mac. All right, so we wanted to bring Miss Darnita on because Miss Darnita is a licensed therapist here in Charlotte. And like I always plug, every time we have her on, she's my therapist.
Yeah.
Been a while since I hollered at you, but she still is my therapist. But she also does relationship and couples counseling as well. So she can provide some very good insight on this topic. Why stay in a bad relationship? Which we actually touched on a little bit last week when we talked about dating's remorse. So now we really want to key in on some of those reasons people stay in bad relationships. So, Darnita, a question for you.
Sure.
As a professional, as a professional therapist, licensed therapist, what are some of the reasons that couples give you? Or what are some of the things you've encountered for people staying in such bad relationships?
Well, let me start out by saying thank you for allowing me back. It's always a pleasure to share on your podcast. So I enjoy having this time and camaraderie and being able to impart and learn as well. But to answer your question, there are a multitude of things that I hear.
some of the major things.
Major things.
Kind of those recurring
We've
things.
We've been together a long time.
Might as well stay.
Yeah. And I've gotten comfortable. I love this person with my whole heart. I don't want to end it. Other things are codependency, meaning people who jump relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship and they never have a time apart. They never leave a relationship until they have someone, ready to go for another relationship because they are afraid to be alone. Their main question that drives them is, what do I do with myself? And what about me?
Scared of being alone. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that there's some people out here that would literally stay with the person they're with, find another person while they're with that person, mm-hmm. so that they can jump from one boat to the next.
Yes.
Sounds like a job.
It sounds like cheating. Well, I mean, yeah, because it's like they start an exit strategy sometimes and then they're like, okay, well, here's the next one. And I mean, immediately pick up where it's almost like they're living together. That one person leaves one household, moves into another household, and it's just like, okay, we are off to the races running. There is no break. There's really no dating. There's really no getting to know each other. It's just this feeling of euphoria, you know, always that
when
you meet
somebody. Scent.
Right, exactly. It's that new car scent, and they want that all the time, mm-hmm. and they're afraid of coming down from that and not having anyone. Another thing is sometimes it is just a situation that I'm settling.
That's a very interesting
Sometimes settling. It is. I'm settling. I chose this person and this is who I'm going to be with.
Now, are you saying that people have openly admitted that?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
So you're telling me people stay in a bad relationship. The relationship's bad because they settled? Is that what it is?
The relationship is bad for a lot of different things. It could be under the umbrella of settling. They just weren't meant to be together. I always talk about seats on the bus, right? And so I always use the analogy that we have a bus and we have a designated number of seats. So sometimes we're going to, you know, we have as a bus, we have bus stops. We pick people up. People are supposed to get off. Sometimes people come and they sit in the wrong part of the bus. That seat is not comfortable, right? And there becomes a problem because it's like they're sitting in the wrong seat and the right person could be on the bus, but they don't have a seat. So they're afraid to move that person out of that seat because it's like, okay, well, if the seat is empty, then there's nothing in it. Instead of looking at it as it's an opportunity to put something new, refreshing, and the right space in that seat. Does that make sense?
Oh, makes perfect sense. Yeah. I'm just processing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty deep. I never thought about it like that. Mm-hmm.
That's why she's licensed.
But another thing is the bus gets crowded. Because they never let people off. And you're constantly, if you have a bus stop, you're meeting people and you're constantly putting people on. It becomes a non-functioning bus because it's overweight, it's overloaded, and it's just unhealthy.
But then what about them people that want to, you know, need to be in the back of the bus but want to sit in the front?
Right. You won't move them.
But what if you try to, they don't want to be moved?
Okay, so let's go back to this. If you want a person gone, you're going to make a person go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's really be real about that.
Because when somebody's had enough, mm-hmm. man or woman,
mm-hmm.
they're going to bounce. Now, they might not openly just say, I'm gone, mm-hmm. but their actions are going to start demonstrating that I really don't want to be here.
Absolutely. There's going to be every inkling in the universe. And generally, the ones who do it in a healthy way will say, this is not working. I don't want to be here. You're going to have to leave. So what does that sometimes involve? Changing phone numbers, blocking people, not having contact with others. You know, even the mutual friends have to say, listen, this person can't take the information that I'm given. It's not even the hint. It's the direct statement that I've made that I don't want to be with this person. I wish them well to let them find someone who is going to make them happy. So if you're having an event and you invite him, I'm not coming. And I would hope if you invite me, you don't let him know that I'll be there so he'll show up.
So you said a couple, there were three key things that mm-hmm. you said for people staying in bad relationships. It was the emotional high from always experiencing something new.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't want to be by myself.
Correct.
And settling.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about
let me clarify one thing.
Yeah.
So the first one is, I really do have a genuine abiding love. So we're here, you know, it's like, okay, well, I feel like this is a bad relationship, but it wasn't always that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we need to work on it. And if both parties are willing to do the work, and even when another person is so burnt out, it's like the other person may have to pick up the slack. But if you're talking about a lifelong relationship, whether marriage or, you know, like, okay, this is my life partner, but you choose not to define it in a marriage situation, you're still taking a commitment to one another to say, when it gets bad, and it will, we are going to work on it. So take your moment, slow it down, get mad, fight it out, whatever we got to do. But guess what? At the end of the day, we're coming back and we're working it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of difference.
Right, right, right. So one thing I do want to key in on is why are people scared to be by themselves?
Oh, wow. So you ask for lottery numbers and everything. So people are afraid to be by themselves for a lot of different reasons. And it really goes down to a lot of attachment injury, okay? And we're talking about attachment injury. A person, and I'll put this out here for anybody who wants to go Google this or YouTube it. There is the still face project. And it's STILL. You can go watch the video. But basically, it's a psychologist. He has about a 7-8 month old child, and the mother is right there. So you see them playing together. She's like, she's smiling, and the baby gets happy, and the baby starts laughing and giggling, and they really start to play. But then she has a very blank face, as almost like just a stare, as if the child is not there. And you start to see the child because he picks up on it immediately, but he's still trying to figure out what's happening here because there was a shift in the energy in the room. After a while, and this is maybe a minute at the most, the child starts to get a little bit cranky, a little bit upset, a little whiny. The mother is still sitting there with a blank face. After about another minute and a half, the child starts to cry. And I mean, cry, as if that child needs all this soothing. The mother is still standing there watching that child with a blank face.
Not saying anything.
Not saying anything, just looking at the wall as if the child is not there. And you see it because it is like so, and I'll put a disclaimer out there, it can be very anxiety ridden watching that, because you're like, but the baby needs you. Can you touch the child at least? And the mother cannot because of the experiment. Okay. And so when you see that, when the psychologist says, okay, now you can nurture the child, you can comfort the child, she immediately goes to the child and, I mean, gives him all this love. And the child is like looking a little frazzled, but it comes back to that normal state. That's an attachment injury. Okay, so when an attachment injury says, is my primary caregiver, whoever that is, so it's usually the birth parents, it comes in and it says, okay, if they establish upfront that I can trust them and I can always depend on them, then I'm always going to see life in that lens, that nobody is out to get me, nobody is trying to steal anything from me, and nobody is trying to hurt me in any way. In general, people want to do good and they want to treat me good. Now, will there be specific individuals? Yes. But they will not paint everybody with a broad stroke of all people do this to me. They always train, if they're going to do a broad stroke, it's going to be all people are really altruistic and genuine. It's just a few people who happens to be sprinkled among us who don't, for whatever reason. And they don't carry it on if their feelings are hurt. They can leave it with that person. Whereas there is a person who has an insecure attachment, meaning that their primary caregivers have shown them that they aren't dependable, they're not trustworthy or anything like that, they're always questioning. They come from a space saying, immediately, the world is tarnished. It's not good out there, and I have to make it on my own. It's all about, and I only have me to depend on because I can't trust people enough to allow them to even try, because they've always let me down and disappointed me.
Kind of like the optimist versus the pessimist.
Correct.
So attachment anxiety.
Injury.
Attachment injury, mm-hmm. Excuse me. You're saying it's one of the reasons people are scared to be.
Yeah, if you have an insecure attachment, sometimes it is because you're always looking for that love. That person is always looking for love, always looking to be good enough, always looking for that external validation.
Somebody to fill a void.
Correct. Instead of looking internally, they're always looking externally.
And I think one of the reasons that is because a lot of times, especially in a day society, we don't even spend time enough with ourselves because there's so many external distractions. You know, I got to go to work, or I got to take care of family. I got to take care of everybody else. I got social media. I got so many things going on in the world that we sometimes become the bottom of our own list.
Or not even on it.
Yeah, or not even on it. So you're talking about trying to, a lot of times, make a relationship work with two people who don't even know themselves. So how can I know how to make you happy or how to please you or what your likes and dislikes are? How can I truly learn that when I don't know what mine are?
Right.
How can I know if you make me happy if I don't know what makes me happy?
Right. Because then, if, and take it a step further, well, if I don't know, then you should always have the answers. Mm-hmm. And you should always be able to make me happy.
Right.
But it's always like, almost like chasing a dog's tail. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you catch it, sometimes you don't.
This is true. So let me ask this question.
Sure.
And this is more of a roundtable question for everybody. Have you ever had relationships that you stayed in too long? Bad relationships that you know you should have left. And so, Jay, I'll ask you, why did you stay in it for so long?
Creature of habit.
Got comfortable.
You, you get comfortable. Even with bad or good, you get comfortable in it. And sometimes comfortability is your worst enemy, because you know how hard it is to get out of a comfort level or something?
Oh, I know.
It may think of it like it was a job. A job can be horrible, but you getting a check, you like, I'm going to stay here. So just like that, you're getting something out of it, but it's not what you need to be getting out of it, so you stay.
Old Faithful.
Old Faithful.
What about you, Donita?
Oh, what? Yes.
Miss Detroit.
That's right. Hello. But I have. And it was for a few things. The friendship we initially started. One was we originally started as friends. And I really enjoyed our friendship. And because of the history of the friendship and then the dating, I didn't want to let it go. Because I was like, once I am done, we can't even be friends.
And that was something that we talked about a few episodes ago. Can you be in a relationship, or is it good to be in a relationship with somebody you're friends with? But we're not gonna get on that topic, but it's, that just kind of triggered that,
because it can kind of go into each other, you know what I'm saying? It's a fine line,
but then you run the risk of losing the friend if the relationship doesn't work out,
and you can't come into an amicable split.
Right,
that's the problem.
Right,
you know. And so we couldn't come to an amicable split because I'll tell you right now, we were both emotionally immature.
How old were you during that relationship?
Shoot. That ended when I was 22.
And how long were y'all together?
5 years.
Oh, wow. So y'all started early.
We were in high school.
High school. Yeah. Okay.
So we were friends in high school and everything, and then all of a sudden we got together right before the prom, and it was just like, okay, this is great, you know. Went away to college. We went away to college in the same state, so it was like we could still see each other. So it was.
And y'all were still together in college then. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah,
that's impressive, because usually that doesn't happen.
Right, exactly. But at the same time, it's like, so when I walked away from the relationship, it was just like, I'm done with you. Now, did he believe me? No. Because his thing was, well, I'll give her some space and time. She'll calm down and then she'll want to be my friend. No. Even to the point where he was angry with me because I wouldn't be his friend. So as about 2 years later, he ends up getting married. But at that time, he sends me this horrific email. I mean, just a slamming email. And I was like,
he sent you an email?
Yeah, he sent me an email. And he started, you know, I just want to let you know that I'm getting married, and just tell me about all these great things about his now wife. And I was just like, that's great. But in the at the end, he was like, so this is why, blah, 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 blah. He starts to list it out. And I was like, so you are supposed to be having one of the happiest and most meaningful times in your life, but you want to pause and take shots at me. Who's got the problem now? Because I have moved on 13 times from you. I'm over it. Now, fast forward, 18 years later, we are friends again.
He's still married?
Yeah, he's still married.
Okay.
He is still married. And his family still reaches out to me. I still have a good relationship with them. And the thing is, while he's in a troubled marriage, my thing is, that's who you chose. So you need to go work it out. Because if you're going to stay there, find some modicum of happiness. Friend. That's it.
Well, I got a question for you.
Sure.
So, is there possibilities that people stay? I know I was talking about the comfort level. Mm-hmm. Do some people stay, woman or man, because of lifestyles?
Both.
What do you mean because of lifestyle?
So sometimes you get in a relationship and your lifestyle is different than what you might have came from. Because, you know, in relationships, sometimes you can get with somebody that actually has a fantastic background or wants to do things, and you experience new things. Mm-hmm. You may travel, you may eat different, you may do different things. Do sometimes people stay in bad relationships because of, like, hey, I'm experiencing things that I probably haven't experienced before, and I want to keep better, even though mm-hmm. the other side can still be bad. Like, y'all don't get along, you know, y'all don't have nothing to comment, but that lifestyle makes people stay. Is that something that could happen?
Absolutely. It absolutely can. I mean, because now that you've given this person a lifestyle and they've become accustomed to it and not necessarily having the same stressors, worries, and concerns prior. Yeah. I mean, that's why we see certain type of relationships happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see a toxic relationship when you see it. But because you're bringing something of value to my life that is not necessarily good for our relationship, mm-hmm. but good for my status or my pleasure principles, you know, i.e. financial gain, mm-hmm. that will make people stay.
I just wonder how big he is, but he got money. I wonder how big financial gain trumps your sanity, or, you know, that's interesting.
Man, we see that in celebrity couples all the time.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, you can walk out in this neighborhood and probably see a few. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be quite honest, if we're talking about socioeconomic status, there's a big range. But then you could have the neighborhood guy who was always neighborhood successful. And so it was like, okay, she waited in line, or he waited in line for her. You know what I'm saying? So it's that thing of, it happens all the time. And sometimes they just come to an agreement.
Yes.
Like, just don't embarrass me on these streets.
Right. I mean, I've heard women say, because even some of the most vain things can make people stay in relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, some women will say, well, I want to have a light-skinned baby, so I'm going to stay with this light-skinned man because we're going to have pretty babies together.
That, but then you also can get into the hierarchy and nobody, not to step on anybody's toes. Black Greek culture. There are some mm-hmm. men who have told me, oh, you're not Black Greek, I can't really date you.
Yeah, status. Status,
they
notoriety.
They want to date another person who is a Black Greek.
Yeah.
That sounds...
Nepotism in relationships. That's mm-hmm. interesting. So...
Would you count sex as one, too? Do you think people will stay in a relationship to, like, sex, too?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, we talked about
that. Only lasts but so long, then what do you have after that?
You have great sex that lingers. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's okay, so I have my own theories about sex, okay? But that's why it makes it even harder. Once you have sex with somebody and it's great sex, it is really hard to, you know, almost like break a tie with that person. It's really hard to break a tie with that person. So when, for instance, if they are, you know, amazing in bed and they're the best you ever had, you don't want to necessarily go back to mediocre. And it's like, okay, well, he called me and said, WYD. Mm-hmm. Okay, what you doing? That's the classic, like,
yep.
Ready to hook it up?
Get that late text.
You get what I'm saying? And the next thing you know, the body's like, okay, they start, you know, your body start remembering things. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, what's about to go down? Okay, I said I was going to leave him alone, but I'll leave him alone next week. Or vice versa.
Because
mm-hmm. she could have put that whole thing on him.
Yeah.
And it's like, hello, nobody's ever done that.
But what's after that? That's my biggest thing.
People aren't thinking about the after because they're thinking about the immediate gratification. It's like the drive-through. You're hungry, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have food that you've already purchased in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is go home and cook it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, man, I was doing this today. It's Thursday. I'm tired and everything else. Let me just go call in this order or hit this app up real quick, place my order, walk in, get it.
Mm.
Convenience.
Yeah. Convenience will keep people in relationships.
Absolutely. And then a lot of people, let's talk about this. A lot of people think that sex will make people change and stay and do better.
No, that if you know the playbook, if you know the playbook, I'm not going to change. If you already given me what I mm-hmm. want, that's no incentive for me to do any better.
No. And that's speaking logically, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's logical with no emotions involved.
Right, because that heart says, or even the people who are so used to being rejected
mm-hmm.
that or dealing with emotionally unavailable people that's all they chase after. They're like, oh, that's the challenge right there. I'm going to get that person. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the best they ever had. And why, you might, but they're going to have others.
Right. And you think you're going to be the one.
Oh, the one to change them. And it's just like, stop it.
So you just mentioned something that I wanted to key in on as well, the heart.
Mm-hmm.
How do you walk away from a relationship that your mind tells you is no good for you, mm-hmm. but your heart says stay?
Slap the mess out your heart.
Really?
What's wrong with you?
Not trying to be funny. Go see a therapist.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you could be the problem.
Yeah. Well, I had to do that because I went through that same situation. Still kind of going through it, but I'm on kind of the downslope of the recovery phase.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it wasn't walking away from a bad relationship, but it was letting go of a relationship that had already ended. I'm not going to get into all of that, but it was, you know, trying to figure out, well, what does recovery look like? But yeah, how do you walk away from something when your heart's there? And yeah, like you said, go see a therapist. Mm-hmm. What is making you hold on?
Yeah. I mean, because sometimes we create a bad situation. We make a relationship bad mm-hmm. because of the perspective sometimes and the demands that we make and the expectations that we have of other people. In the way that they have to meet them. Because if they don't meet them in our specified way, then they didn't meet them at all. When in honesty, if we can actually take a step back sometimes and look, they've over-delivered. It's just in a different way than we are not able to see.
And that's an important point as well, because I've had this conversation with exes where they were expecting a certain behavior from me.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that they wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't delivering it in the way they wanted to see it. It was the best I could do based on my experiences.
Right.
And so we have to really kind of take a step back and look at, what is this person giving me? Am I expecting too much? Am I being selfish
mm-hmm.
in a sense?
Yeah.
And what am I missing out on by trying to change this person and get them to really do something that's not in their character trait to do?
Absolutely. And that's another thing, because we can literally destroy somebody by saying various things like, why can't you be like that person is just meant to be them. And if we can't honor and appreciate what they bring to the table, and I'm talking about the people who are actually bringing things to the table. Now, I'm not talking about the person who refuses to get a job and they say, oh, I'm looking for a job, but then they want to drop you off at your job and keep your car the whole day, then be late to come pick you up.
I hate seeing that.
Baby boy.
I hate it. I see it and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Or, excuse me, the person who says, okay, I know I went through my money. I don't have no money, but this person is supposed to come get me and just shine me into a diamond and do everything for me. Yeah, we got to get a realistic picture. I mean, it happens, but I don't know, again, the quality of the relationship and what they've come to an agreement about. And they honestly could be in love, but that's like winning the lottery. It's rare, okay? And so if it's a bad relationship, still go talk to a therapist, because having that space to have your thoughts heard but then also challenged and sometimes reframed will help you find the self-esteem and sometimes the self-respect to say, I choose me over everything else. And that's not in a conceited nor narcissistic, arrogant way. No, it's in a healthy self-love type of way. That if I, once I get my do's and don'ts of my moral character, if it doesn't match, I can't deal with it. I'm putting myself first because I choose not to accept anything less than.
Yeah, you absolutely have to seek help. Because if you realize that it's just a revolving door of emotions, mm-hmm. where nothing's changing, you know you want to, you know you need to leave, but you keep staying. Mm-hmm. It's time to seek some help. And really, the help is to understand yourself, what's making you go through these cyclical behaviors of negative situations.
Right. And that's it. Also, and I want to touch on something we haven't touched on here, is like domestic violence situations, which happens, mm-hmm. and let's be very clear, happens to both men and women. Women happen to be the poster child of a domestic violence situation. However, there are a lot of men who are suffering in silence, and in my thought, probably suffering in silence more because they're being emasculated. And what man is going to tell their boy, she beat me up? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So he's really suffering. But on average, a woman leaves at least 8 times, or goes back to her abuser 8 times on average. So there could be more, there could be less. The thing is, the trick of the abuser is, see, don't nobody want you, don't nobody care about you but me. And guess how we play into it? We get so pissed off, angry, and upset that the person is going back that we be like, I can't deal with you. So who do we leave them with?
Their abuser.
Because in actuality, the abuser is the only one who's going to deal with them. So we also have to have that support system that says, okay, I don't like your decision-making skills. I really hate that you are going back to this person. And yes, if I could run this person over and not go to jail, I probably would. Okay, just not tell you. However, you are my person. And so therefore, I will always be there. Even in the middle of the night, if I got to come pick you up to take you to the emergency room, sit there. Yes, I'm going to give you an evil face, and I'm going to go off.
In a loving way.
In a loving way, with a few choice words. But I'm never letting you know. I'm never going to let him be right about nobody wanting to deal with you and it's, nobody love you.
It's interesting. I read something really recently about people in abusive relationships, and they say that the abuser has like a set, a lot of abusers have a set pattern of moving their I guess situation like out of town to where that person they're abusing has nobody close by, so it's kind of right.
You have to depend on me.
That's
an old pimp game right there. You get them out of their comfort zone to where now that person only has you to rely on, and if you and you've convinced them to cut all their ties.
Yes.
And now because the folks who you've cut ties with see you in this bad relationship, they don't want to have anything to do with you because you're not listening anyway.
Yep.
So now you have no one else to depend on, you know, financially, emotionally. This abuser becomes your livelihood. It's the classic Stockholm syndrome.
Absolutely. So then that's just like when I was saying how if you have somebody that puts you in a different status now, so it's like, that's fine, you can leave, but you're not going to be able to afford this type of car we drive in, this house we live in, or the trips we take, because it's like, you can't do that.
Right.
So that's what they do.
Yeah, because that's like, in that situation, it's that thing of, okay, this is what I've given you, and this is what I continue to do. It's that leverage thing. So it's a manipulation piece right there. But we're stuck. A lot of times we only think about the physical abuse, but there's financial abuse, which you were talking about. So it starts like, oh, you don't have to work, I'll take care of you. Like, I ain't got to work. You going to pay all my bills. What'd you just say? You got a nice house. You did what? You bought me this car and it's mine? Oh, my goodness. So now your friends are like, don't leave this person. This is great. You know what I'm saying? Perfect movie is Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yeah, I've seen the heading on Netflix or something like that. I haven't watched it.
And Enough. So in Enough, Jennifer Lopez was a waitress. And he would come sit in her section every day. And he was in, you know, some high powered position, had a lot of money and everything. So he lavished her. And everybody was like, oh my God. And she was truly in love with this man because he, so she thought, spoke to her heart. Till she said, I do. Mm-hmm. And that's when your house is immaculate because you scrub the floors every night. And now I don't have to scrub the floors. You're going to scrub the floors. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's emotional, it's verbal, it's financial, it's physical.
It's all kind of forms
of abuse.
Yeah. And when you're in those types of situations, you have to be very bold. You have to be very bold and not allow yourself to get reliant or dependent, overly dependent on your mate. You still have to maintain some sense of independence regardless of the situation. You know, whether it's a positive relationship or not, right, you still have to maintain a sense of self and be careful not to lose yourself in these relationships.
What she stated earlier, a really interesting situation that I have some family members that's been through this, where they allowed a significant other, a guy, to come, and I know probably, you know, it could be vice versa, but a guy to come and live with them, and they're the breadwinners. Mm-hmm. And when they get tired of it, now how do you kick somebody out that don't want to leave?
Eviction process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you have to go through the eviction process. Yes, it takes at least 30 days. But
a lot of people don't understand, or they don't want, it's a lot that they it's like they're scared to go through it or something. I don't know. It's like my cousins, they've gone through this, and they're like, well, I just don't want to kick them out, or he won't leave. I told him to leave, but he's still here. And then it's just a lot.
Well, there's no excuse for ignorance. If you want somebody gone, there's ways to get them gone. Put a lock on the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Start farting around the house. Don't flush the toilet. Just create an uncomfortable situation, because as long as that living situation is comfortable, they're never going to leave.
The right. fact that you got all those answers right there scared me.
You're farting around the house. Yeah, hell, all right, sir.
Okay. All right. I leave. I'm out.
Hey, it's a thing called Febreze.
Exactly. You put a little bleach on the clothes or something like that. You know, you make a very uncomfortable living situation.
But it's a lot easier said than done.
Oh, everything's a lot easier said than done, but everything's doable. And as long as you don't do anything, it's always going to be difficult to move on. Well, coming up on time. So, anybody got any last thoughts before we get ready and wrap it up?
Okay, so I have a couple last thoughts. So, along with the question of, you know, how do you walk away, you also have to know when enough is enough. Mm-hmm. And that's just your personal situation was happening. And again, sometimes talking it out with somebody who is a neutral third party can help you determine when that is.
Yeah, definitely have to do that. What else you got for us? I know you got some recommendations and thoughts. Any books that you got that might help people to, any literature that might help people to identify some solutions?
Okay, so there are a couple books that I've been assigning to people. And especially, it's not necessarily like when to say when or relationship this or that. No, I am truly focusing on building the individual person up. And this is even when I'm working with a couple, because you have to have a person and they come together. But as you said, not lose their individual selves, because that's what made them unique to come together anyway. And so there is a book, it's under, it's by Dr. Brené Brown, and it's called The Power of Vulnerability. And so it really helps you to get real with yourself and understand why, the reasons why we kind of avoid vulnerability. So then getting real with yourself and becoming vulnerable with yourself may give you some answers on how to handle relationships, period, right? And how to really have a successful relationship and then walk away from the ones that are toxic. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's another one that is, well, of course, Michelle Obama, Becoming, because I mean, she's like one of my favorite people, and it's amazing that she had this wonderful life, but at the same time, her base question at different times in her life was, am I good enough for this? And so when she's asking herself, you think like Michelle Obama gonna ask herself, you just think she was so self-confident and different things like that. Just read the book so you can see the journey. But then there's another book by Lisa Turquoise, and it's, her name is LYSA. And the book is titled, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. And so when you're feeling like you're in a tailspin or you're drifting out there, you don't have a purpose, you don't have a sense of direction, it really drives a lot of different things home with the concepts of sometimes you are in that space because you're supposed to be learning something, you're supposed to be experiencing something that is preparing you for the next, okay? And it also has almost like different chapter pieces where you can journal about different things and work through different questions too. So I always love books like that.
Setback for a comeback.
That's right.
True indeed. Mm-hmm. Lil Boosie said that, matter of fact.
For real though?
Yeah.
All right, then.
Jay, what you got for us?
I'm mad at
Oh, love,
I'm,
doctor.
I'm mad at Lil Boosie comment. That was funny. All thing I can say is, man, it's real out here. Bad relationships are real. It's not a facade. It's not stories. It's real. It happens every day. So if you even think you in one, perception, please listen to the advice and seek out some kind of counseling service, just to talk to somebody. I'm a firm believer in counseling, just as E is. I've seen counseling myself, so please try it out. It's not as bad as you think. Don't think of it as a bad thing. Think of it as talking to somebody.
Yeah, that's really
other than the people you talk to every day that's gonna tell you what you want to hear. That is so aggravating. Talk to somebody different.
Yeah, get them yes people out your corner.
Yes.
And the only thing that I would have to say is know yourself before you get into a relationship, and also take the time to really know a person before you decide to jump into a relationship with them.
Yes.
Pay attention to any flags that you see, mm-hmm. and embellish the positives that you see. And that's how you can avoid the pitfalls before you even come up to the pitfall.
Can I add to that real quick? I know we gotta go.
Yeah, what's up?
Piss them off real bad. You gotta make them angry, because you gotta see how that person is gonna react. If they wild out and erupt like a volcano, you know you're dealing with a ticking time bomb. But if the person can be mad, go off, get themselves together, and then come back and say, okay, what was that all about? That's a little bit more balance. But you gotta make them mad. So you gotta do something to make them mad.
And if you like to know of some ways to get people mad, I think I can help. Please reach out to me. Give you some advice on how to piss off your mate 101.
Yes, you wrote the book on it. So with that, Ms. Darnita, if anybody wanted to get in touch with you for professional advice, professional counseling and therapy, how will we do that?
Sure. They can call me on my office line, 919-807-1692, or email me at Darnita Samuels, and that's Darnita Samuels, and the letters M as in Mary, F as in Frank, T as in Tom, at Outlook.com.
Can I put that number on speed down?
Really? Why would be nice to me?
Ah, oh, see how I get treated, E? I told you.
It's a cold world.
It's cold world. Cold-blooded.
Hey, you know how it is. Well, as always, this is Mr. No Excuses with my man Jay signing out with another powerful episode of the Hidden Truths Podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share. We're available on all social media platforms and all listening platforms. Hidden Truths Podcast. Hit us up with your ideas for topics. If you ever want to be a guest on the show, you can also hit us up for that as well. We're always looking for good feedback, or any kind of feedback, really, because we're always trying to get better. Any kind of feedback that you may have, any ideas, any suggestions, we're always open to that, because we're doing this for the community, for the culture. As always, kings and queens, stay up. We out.